Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info at facebook.com/ballisticradio. I changed it up. I didn't say any, like, weird stuff in front of it. Closing with me, Jack.
Yay!
Ah, and your mic's already off.
Already chatting with someone.
I'm glad that you're paying
it's
attention.
Actually for work.
Oh, well, then it's allowed. So, anyway, hey, Jack, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the IR Patrol Thermal Monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid that likes to wander out after dark looking for Pokemon. It's causing so many problems in the neighborhood. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC, now with financing. Own or finance the night. So, we've got a good show lined up with John Chapman, or Chappie, and I'm going to let him tell all about who he is and what he does. Chappie, are you there?
I am, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
Oh, I'm not bad. Now I feel like I'm going to get strapped to a table and cut in half with a laser. So...
Hardly.
Well, you know, I expect you to die, Mr. Johnson. Anyway, for those that don't, you've been on the show before, but for those that don't know, say who you are, what you do, and we'll get started from there.
Sure. My name's Chappie, and I'm a weapons and tactics instructor and a business guy in the firearms industry, and been teaching for 20-something years, and police officer, and... I work for EAG Tactical and for Raven Concealment Systems.
Perfect. So, yeah, and you used to be with LMS Defense. Now you're yes. EAG now, correct?
Yes, I founded LMS, and the team over there has done an awesome job building the company, and they have taken the reins, and they are running with it. It's an awesome thing.
Perfect. So it's funny, you and I have been... acquaintances or you know, you're a friend of mine, I'm not going to speak for you, but we've known each other for a couple years now. I finally got out to take one of your classes. Which was
excited to see you in it.
I was excited too, even at the end when I failed miserably, but we can talk about that in a second. You've got some, and it was an instructor level class for shoot house stuff. But you've got some interesting ways as far as you organize information and especially how you teach information to students. What would you say, I guess, do you want to talk about that class in particular first, or you just want to talk about learning in general? Where would you like to start, sir?
I think it's probably most instructive to just talk about learning in general.
Okay.
To start with.
Well, I was hoping like we'd get a chance to make fun of me on air or something like that, but I mean...
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
Well, we'll do that later. We've got three segments after this one. There's plenty of opportunity,
sure.
I'm sure. So what do you think? We'll break this into two parts. Number one, what is the biggest mistake that you think students make? And then while you're answering that, be thinking about what do you think is the biggest mistake that instructors make trying to teach?
Sure. I think, and I don't know if it's a mistake, but the biggest challenge I see for students is understanding why they are training, understanding what their mission actually is. Training can be a fun activity that's a hobby,
yep.
Which is great. But I see some students err in that they mistake taking the fun classes with people that they've wanted to train with, which is good and it's important. But I see them mistake that for actually training to accomplish something that is applicable to their lives.
Right.
Understanding why it is you need to know how to fight, what it is you're trying to accomplish, whether it's defending your house or carrying a gun out in public, or you're a patrolman as a police officer, a military member in a transportation unit, or a military member in an infantry unit, or a SWAT cop. Understanding what it is exactly you're going to be tasked to do, and a task isn't always generated by some officer with a staff. Sometimes it's generated by a dirtbag in a gas station parking lot.
Right.
That understanding what that task is likely to be is the first step to understanding how to build your own training plan, and you should be training to a training plan, not willy-nilly taking stuff just because it sounds fun. If you're doing that, if you're just taking things for recreation, then you need to be honest with yourself and tell yourself that.
Right.
Because you're not doing yourself any favors otherwise.
Well, so... it's fine. I was going to say, so do you think that one of the things that, especially when people are getting started out, whether they're in the military or even law enforcement or a civilian, is understanding the context of what they're doing when they're taking in outside information?
Yes, absolutely. And understanding how to process that. Merely taking what somebody teaches you as gospel and then attempting to shoehorn that into your daily life or your likely scenario or likely lethal force encounter is a recipe for either A, executing the wrong technique or procedure during an encounter when the stakes are real, or B, missing an opportunity to effectively defend yourself. Just doing nothing because you haven't trained, you don't have any response programmed to apply to that circumstance because you were spending all your time doing Australian peels and stuff.
Well, so I'll give you, for instance, I just posted a little true or false statement on our Facebook page just because I wanted to. I had a theory as what I would see as responses, and unfortunately, people sort of did exactly what I expected them to. But I was saying, for a non-law enforcement or military context, so civilian self-defense training context, it's more important to focus training time on malfunction clearances than emergency reloads. And the reason why I brought that up was, and I've been discussing this with Claude Werner and Chuck Haggard a lot, but the number of malfunctions that are observable in a gunfight, a civilian gunfight, are much, much higher order of magnitude than an emergency reload. And I've yet to find one of those on video anywhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
that's an exact reason why, understanding your mission allows you to conduct a sober analysis of what you should be training.
Right.
Which leads exactly into that point.
So as far as what do you think people should be focusing on when they're first starting out? How do they understand what their mission is? I mean, how should they do that?
They should do a realistic assessment of where they go every day and where they carry their gun.
Okay.
So for a cop, I wear my gun. If I'm in uniform, I'm wearing it all the time. So everywhere I go, I've got a gun.
Yeah.
What do I do throughout my day? Am I sitting in an office? Is my number one threat a workplace violence incident? Or do I drive around delivering medical supplies? So is my most likely threat in my car? And once you've done that, you'll very clearly, or you'll very quickly be able to identify pretty clearly what missions you should be training for. If you're in your car all day, you're a salesman or you're a delivery guy or you're, a meal on wheels driver,
right.
You should be focusing your mission around the vehicle.
Okay.
Learning how to fight from and around and inside your car.
Hold that thought real quick if you can, because we've got to go mm-hmm. to break. We'll bounce right back into this. Right now we're talking with John Chapman. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. Now, Chappie, before the break, I interrupted you, mm-hmm. and I apologize. We were talking about people, you know, understanding the what they need to focus on in their mission. And you were saying that if you spend a lot of time, you know, in your car or around cars, you need to know how to fight in and around vehicles. And then I interrupted mm-hmm. you to pay for the show. I apologize. Please continue.
Well, you know, that's fine. I like capitalism.
Yeah, you know.
So identifying your daily activities and when you have your gun on if you have two brain cells to rub together, will very quickly lead you to what your missions are.
Right.
So if that makes sense. And to go to the second part of the question you asked before, what's the most common mistake instructors make?
Yep.
So there are instructors and then there are teachers. Instructors are parrots, basically, and we need instructors. They teach skills really well. They use a lesson plan that either they wrote or they're using someone else's. And instructors are a very valuable piece of that puzzle.
Right.
So speaking to instructors, the most common mistake I see is not being fully spun up or not being an expert in the context of why they're teaching exactly what they're teaching. And I don't mean in general. I mean specific skills. Why do you teach to grip the gun that way?
Right.
That's the most common mistake I see. And they also, some instructors that I watch, make the mistake of not taking the time to fully understand the context of the skills that they're teaching. They tend to teach in isolation because they haven't done a mission analysis or they haven't done a full analysis of why they're teaching what they're teaching. The second group, in my opinion, is teachers. Those are people who are fully cognizant of the mission and the requirements. The capabilities that are required, the procedures that are required, and they're able to design curriculum and teach individual people to get them through the skills, build those skills specifically so that they'll meld into techniques and those techniques specifically so that they'll meld into procedures to meet a specific capability need.
Right. So continue. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I was going to ask, do you think enough people are really trying to dig into the why behind what they're teaching? Or is that just...
Some people, yes. I mean, it's a very individual equation. I couldn't even begin to put a percentage on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you know it when you see it.
Right.
You can tell very quickly that somebody who is just by watching them teach, within 10 minutes, you can tell if they understand why they're teaching what they're teaching and if they've thought it out or if they're just being a parent.
Do you think that, let me back up here. Do you think that when we're talking about like the whole instructor, you know, teacher, student equation, as far as for the student, if you're learning something from somebody and you ask them a question and they can't explain it to you in depth, do you think that mm-hmm. should be a warning sign?
I do. I think it should be a very deep warning sign.
So do we try and instill in students then the, you know, the questioning nature, as a student, you don't want to go to a class and be interrupting the class with a why every 2 seconds, but.
No, but if you have a question, you should ask.
Yeah.
And some of those questions are frankly best asked offline. And if it's obvious the instructor doesn't possess the information that you need to understand the why, to know if you need to carry forward practicing the stuff that you've learned in this class, then you use that information accordingly.
Right. Well, and that actually segues kind of nicely. For students, what is the purpose of going and taking a class? I mean, are they going to get better at the class, or what? What's the immediate goal and long-term goal there?
In my opinion, the immediate goal should be to gain conscious competence, meaning that they can conduct an activity while they're thinking about that and that alone in the class. So they've identified their mission and the capabilities that they need to have to complete that mission, the procedures that are required and the techniques. So they're in a skill level class. They've come with the expectation of learning specific skills.
Right.
So they get good at those skills under the supervision of a teacher or an instructor in that class. They take good notes. They practice it under supervision so that they can do it right when they're thinking about it. That's the short-term goal.
Right.
The long-term goal is to now incorporate that into your weekly or biweekly or however often you train, so that you can now drill that skill or technique to the point where you're unconsciously competent with it. The analogy's made a lot of the training class is a down payment. You don't own it until you've bought it through training on your own time. You don't go to training you don't go to formal training to get turned into a gunfighter in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You go to formal training to learn what you need to know to train yourself, because ultimately you are responsible for training yourself. All I am doing as an instructor is making sure that under my supervision you can execute, you understand why you're doing that skill or technique or procedure, and you're able to execute it properly while I'm watching.
Right.
And then you can then take it and make payments on it until you're unconsciously competent in it.
Okay. We'll clear up some verbiage that we're using. What's the difference between like a skill, a technique, a procedure? We can leave out capabilities and missions mm-hmm. for the purpose of this. But what are the differences between the three?
A skill is an individual action that you take to affect an outcome. For instance, marksmanship is a skill.
Yeah.
And getting even deeper down than that, pressing the trigger is a skill, and holding the gun properly is a skill, and shooting from different positions is a skill.
Okay.
Driving is a skill. High-speed reverse is a skill, et cetera. The number of skills involved in gunfighting in general is mind-boggling. But
yeah.
Identifying those and then training to them is where we start. So that's a skill. A technique is a series of skills that we practice together so that we can apply them to a particular circumstance.
Okay.
So, for instance, taking a corner is a technique, and that incorporates the skills of, you know, stand or movement, positional shooting, subject control. All of those skills go into taking a corner.
Right.
A procedure is a series of techniques that we plan to apply to a general circumstance.
All right. So like a gas station robbery,
mm-hmm.
you might have a procedure for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. The procedure could be, you know, identify the threat as early as possible, position yourself for advantage, apply the proper techniques for that position that you find yourself in.
Right. Or if you've been working cardio and you want to stay out of it, run away really quick.
Right.
Which is a perfectly acceptable answer.
Oh, it's more than acceptable.
So we've got to go to break here. So we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get back, and then maybe we'll talk
sure.
about some of the stuff going on with Raven or EAG or really whichever. Right now mm-hmm. we're talking with John Chapman. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatter guns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we're talking with John Chapman, or Chappie, as everyone who knows him calls him. And I feel bad for using your full name. I apologize, but if I don't provide context for people listening, they're going to be like, what? You know? So
no, it's perfectly fine.
So we were talking before the break about the difference between skills, techniques, and procedures, and how that plays into, you know, training and us, you know, what we're supposed to be getting out of training or what we should be getting out of training when we go in and look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there anything else you want people thinking about with that, or, you know, any greater topics inside of the training industry you'd like to touch upon while we're here?
Just, I encourage people to come to class with a purpose. I have some folks who come to my classes just because they want to train with me.
Yeah.
And I get that. I do the same thing. I recently took a Jeff Gonzalez class. It's because I've known Jeff for many years and I've never trained with him.
Yeah.
But I still had a purpose for taking that class. I had identified ahead of time. It was a techniques and procedures level course. And I identified ahead of time what I wanted to take away from that.
Right.
And actually had it written out and was filling in gaps in that as he was teaching.
Nice.
So have a plan. Everyone has limited resources. Even if you're a millionaire, you still only have so much time.
Right.
And money is definitely a limited resource, but time is an even more important one. And if you are training to be ready for the unknown, having a plan allows you to not waste time training for things that are purely recreational unless you want to.
Yeah.
If you want to do something for recreation, that's awesome. But don't think you're training to be a barrel-chested gunfighter when it's recreation.
Well, and that seems to be, you know, and there, it's funny too, because there's always, you know, for whatever reason, our industry seems to break into cliques, and then there's mm-hmm. the, you know, gamer kids talking about the Timmies and blah blah blah
sure.
blah blah, and it seems like most of that is centered around when people do not acknowledge what they're doing with themselves as far
mm-hmm.
as. You know, it's
yeah.
And most of the, what's funny is most of the really high-level people in whatever clique you want to find would be more than happy to tell you, no, I'm good at this one thing, and this one thing is useful in this circumstance, and it doesn't mean I'm good at this other thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
It always seems to be the people starting out that cause the problems as far as that goes.
Yeah. Well, it's people. It's the look at me.
Yes.
I'm trying to get a business going.
I guess. There's a lot of hard work involved. I strongly suggest mm-hmm. no one do it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to, I don't know, have money to pay your bills and
sleep.
Do things like that, yeah, don't get into the training industry.
Yeah.
It is the people who do it and are good at it are doing it because they're good at it and they have a passion for helping people win gunfights.
Right. Right. Well, and yeah, I mean, and even as someone that, you know, my position in the industry is interesting as far as what I get to do and what I don't get to do, but, you know, just the amount of other stuff that eats up my time. You know, a good example is when I was out at the class, we finished mm-hmm. up Sunday about, 4 o'clock, and then I took an 11.5-hour drive to Atlanta, you know?
Right, right.
And I didn't do that for my health, trust me. It was just mm-hmm. kind of like oh, great, now I've got this other thing I need to go do.
Sure.
So tell me, we'll sort of switch topics a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you work at Raven.
I do.
You guys are doing all sorts of cool stuff, making really awesome things. Do you have anything that you want to tease the listeners with or talk about or any directions for in the future? Or what's going on there?
A lot of things. We are a very design-heavy company, and we're organized that way on purpose.
Yeah.
We really strive to help people or to give people as many advantages as possible when they're encountered with a violent circumstance.
Right.
And we do that. Everything we do is driven by that. So we have several things. We recently released the Baylor mount, which allows you to mount a red dot optic on a pistol without altering the pistol. So your warranty's not voided, and it also is a less expensive option for doing it at home. So
right.
We actually developed that for a government agency. And who wanted to put red dots on pistols to help guys win gunfights and to allow them the capability to use their pistol with night vision and all those things and
right.
not reduce the capability of the pistol during the day or in white light situations, but
right.
Increase the capability of the pistol by putting a red dot on it. So that, and then the Freya Magwell, which is originally designed by Sentinel,
yep.
Clint Lynch, which is it fits into the Raven mission because it's designed to be a magazine well that can be concealed and still work. So things like that for pistol support, and then our bread and butter is helping people comfortably carry guns so that they carry them. That's the key. We drive that through. We drive that for ourselves, and we try to drive the rest of the holster industry as well through things like the Eidolon and the VG2 and the moduloader system.
Right.
Pushing the design envelope into new areas so that we can advance beyond what we currently have.
Right.
Raven invented the Kydex pancake holster that is now the Phantom that everybody else now makes, and people are making the Eidolon. And that's actually a testament to, and we appreciate that because it's a testament to driving the ability of guys to conceal a gun and have it immediately available in an advantageous way.
Right. Now I know there's one question I've been getting a lot of, and since I've got mm-hmm. you on air,
sure.
When are you going to make an Eidolon for a high point, dude? I mean, that's, I know that there's just people clamoring for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm regretting my decision not to punch you in the face when I saw you.
I'd like to state for the record, I wasn't involved in that joke. Just so it's clear to the listeners and you.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry I had to, because I know that's... well, I didn't have to. It's one of your favorite pet peeves, though, I'm sure.
It is. One of the serious questions we get a lot is, when are we going to make an Eidolon to go with a flashlight? And we made the VG3 because it's more appropriate to that application.
Right.
I think one of the things that differentiates us is that we won't make things that suck just because our customers want them.
If only more companies would follow suit there,
right?
The world would be a better place.
An Eidolon LC wouldn't suck, an Eidolon that would take a gun with a flashlight, but the VG3 is actually far more appropriate and comfortable and more concealable.
Right.
It's a better product for that application. Again, analyzing our customers' missions and the needs, the capabilities that they need to possess, that's the product we designed to meet that need.
Right. Well, I know when, and feel free to say no comment, because I didn't ask you about this question before we came on air, but one of the serious questions that I know a lot of people have, and I'd feel really bad if I didn't ask while I had you on. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Eidolon, as far as support for other incredibly popular, numerous pistols, do you think in the future that's something that will happen, or is it just sort of too early to say?
That is, in the future, that will happen.
Okay.
It is a function of market size.
Right.
Not to get too inside baseball.
Yeah.
But the Glock pistol is by far the most purchased and, more importantly, carried gun in the world.
Yeah.
And we always start our designs with the Glock. We do have roadmaps for other models to be supported by the Eidolon.
Okay.
For government customers, we make Eidolons for other models in specific circumstances. This is ultimately a business, like you were talking about having to run advertising.
Right.
With us, we have to have a return on investment, because it's a very expensive prospect to make something like the Eidolon.
Right.
And I have to have a return on investment.
Well, and that makes perfect sense. We got to go to break. So right now we're talking with John Chapman. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen Sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell "Aziz Light" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off almost everything at the Surefire web store. Does not apply towards suppressors or batteries, but everything else is good to go. All you need to do is enter the discount code ALLTHELUMENS. That is ALLTHELUMENS. No space, otherwise it doesn't work. Or wait, no space if you put a space. Anyway, you guys know what I meant. Hopefully Jack's just shaking his head. So we're talking with John Chapman, and I'm sorry for throwing you on the spot with the high point question, Chappie.
No, that's okay.
I oftentimes think I am much funnier than I am in reality, and then I get scared that
I would agree with that analysis.
Well, I most people would. Jack's just hey, Chappie can say it. He doesn't work for me. So you shut up, you. No, I'm just, now I'm sort of scared at the prospect of the next time you see me punching me in the face, because, I mean, you're pretty bulletproof up in Alliance, and Joey'd throw me in the clink quicker than anything. Anyway, I can't believe I just used the clink on air as a way to describe jail.
That was very old-timey of you, very mid-century.
Yeah, I know, right? I could throw my continental accent on and really go to town, but that
right.
We don't need that. God, this was a good show, and then I started talking. So as far as we were talking about like product development and things that Raven's mm-hmm. got coming out and all that. I'm trying to think where I want to go with it. See, the problem with having you on is there's so many different things we could talk about. Just choosing one to spend a couple minutes on is sort of difficult. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Shoot House instructor class. And
sure.
And so it was funny. I kind of have this thing where I don't do well at something. I like to talk about it in front of other people so that
mm-hmm.
They can.
That's a natural male defense mechanism.
Well,
the reason why when males understand that their friends have something that bothers them, they keep pestering them about it until it doesn't bother them anymore.
Well, there is that. And that's actually the main reason that you've cut right to the heart of Chappie. So, I mean, and we can talk about me getting picked on in high school or grade school or why my dad didn't love me enough or things like that.
Or last week. Yeah.
Well, you know. But the other reason that I like to talk about it is that for me personally, I've gone a lot of places, and I've done well at places, and I get things out of those classes, but the classes that I get the most out of are the ones that I fail at, mm-hmm. or where failures in general for me have always been like a very good learning point.
Sure.
If you want to talk about me specifically, you can. If you want to talk about just in general failure as a learning point, do you think that people overlook that? Or don't?
I absolutely do. I think that, and I wouldn't call it a failure. I would call it a positive learning experience because
yeah.
you were able to measure yourself against a known standard.
Right.
And that's the difference between recreational shooting and training.
Yeah.
Is you were actually training that week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you were pushing the limits of your capability, and you came up a little short. And having that, I think, is invaluable, as you said, because if you go someplace, pay your money, and come out thinking that you're squared away and you're not, and the instructor just looks at you as a check.
Yeah.
And just gives you the certificate, that's not doing you any good at all. Having someone hold you to a standard and at the end of it, having a no BS, well, you know, you didn't really meet the standards, so now you know what you need to work on. That's how you improve.
Well, and luckily I have failed at so many things in my life. It's not as ego-destroying as it would have been 10 years ago. But mm-hmm. but the other thing that I've always kind of, you know, I've always kind of enjoyed as much as, you know, a person, maybe I'm just weird, I don't know. I like being able to go back later and do something that I wasn't able to do the first time,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to just, oh, well, I guess I can't do that.
Right.
It seemed a lot of people, you know.
Well, it absolutely adds to the accomplishment.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people, you know, they take no for an answer as far as their own personal abilities too often, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. They hold themselves to a standard that if they can't meet, they stop trying.
And they lower the standard.
Right. And, you know, what I have is good enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's – we are – again, this is not recreation for us.
No.
This is...
I take this very seriously.
For as much as
I like, I'm a nerd and silly and goofy
yeah.
and whatever, this is about as serious as a thing as I have, you know?
Right. And you are not training, and I'm speaking about you specifically and other good students that come through class. You are training expecting to have to use this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not something you look forward to, but it's something that if you don't possess these skills, luck is not a strategy.
Mm-mm.
And counting on the other guy being a dumbass does not win gunfights, just as a rule.
Right.
And gunfights are won years in advance. They are won on the range by yourself in 105-degree weather working on your draw. They are won going to a class that challenges you and makes you realize your shortcomings against that standard and deciding to buckle down and work your ass off. That's what wins gunfights. The actual physical actions on the ground during a gunfight technically is what wins the gunfight, but that is only possible by taking it seriously ahead of time.
Well, and it seems, you know, it's funny. I will be pleasantly surprised if I make it, you know, through the rest of my life and never have another violent encounter of any sort mm-hmm. ever again.
Right.
But like you said, and even more importantly to me, as someone that, for whatever reason, has people look to me for answers to questions, I really want to be able to give them the absolute best information possible because,
right.
you know, there are plenty of people that either listen to me or approach me or ask me for advice or things like that, that, mm-hmm. you know, their job is, you know, they're cops or they're military or whatever. And I will not, period, full stop, give someone bad information that goes on, you know, that later on makes one of the good guys not come home. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's my main concern.
Or more importantly, makes one of the good guys not able to accomplish his mission.
Yeah.
So if you carry a gun, you are a gunfighter, period. End of discussion. You do not have to be compensated and have done 900 night vision hits on locations around the world to be a gunfighter.
Right.
If you carry a gun for the purpose of defending yourself, you are a gunfighter.
Well,
that comes with responsibility. The primary responsibility is to accomplish the mission that is in front of you. Your life, especially as a cop, is secondary.
And that now, gets into like a whole conversation about like priority of life and things like that.
Right.
Unfortunately, we are at the end of the show. I know it's a quick hour, man. I'll have you back on and we'll continue this conversation later. But
sure.
for those that want to find you, where can they do it real quick? And then we got a jet.
The easiest way right now to find me is on Facebook. Here shortly, you'll be able to find me on EAG-tactical.com.
Perfect. Chappie, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're super busy.
Thank you, John.
Brother. Be safe, man. I'll talk to you soon.
You too. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, make sure you check out our website, BallisticRadio.com, like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BallisticRadio, and leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.